T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Sports Radio 101.9 FM, The Fan, and Sports Radio 66 WFAN.
And we'll call this segment A Few Minutes with Jared Diamond of the Wall Street Journal. Jared, how you doing? Hope you're safe and sound and healthy.
Yeah, I'm doing much better tonight now that I know these baseball negotiations are finally over.
Are they really, though? I mean, is there a monkey wrench that may prevent the season from actually starting? We're so used to rejection, and we're so used to negativity, and we're so used to non-negotiating, going back and forth over and over and over again. I'm just wondering how secure we should feel knowing that, yes, we're told we're having a baseball season. Should we be confident?
Well, here's what I know. Here's what we know for sure. Okay. We know that baseball is going to try to play a season of 60 games. Everybody has signed off on it. Right. The schedule should be announced publicly. If not tomorrow, then shortly thereafter. All the health and safety protocols are signed, sealed, delivered. Now, does that mean they will play? Does that mean they will finish the season? Well, that's probably up to the virus and not up to us. So right. I really have no clue what's going to happen once the season starts. But for the first time, I could say definitively that they're moving forward with trying to start a year.
Yeah, we're hearing that spring training will officially get underway July 3rd, and the season starting, if not on July 24th, which is a Friday, that weekend. So, you know, there are conflicting reports and so forth. But we did get one report that the season would start that Friday, the 24th of July, with players having to report by July 1, as we were told yesterday with everything, and then spring training 2.0 officially starting on July 3rd. What surprises you more, Jared, that the vote by the players, by the union, was 33-5, with 5 voting yes, and I'd love to know who they are. I'm wondering if they're branded now as traitors within the union, or that the fact that, if that didn't surprise you, that 5 voted yes with the no vote, or did the fact that Manfred and Clark actually met in Phoenix in person, what surprised you more?
God, the fact that those two got into a room together and actually talked is a miracle, considering how these negotiations went, because they consisted of very little talking, and it was mostly just lawyers sending back increasingly angry letters and otherwise pretending the other party didn't exist. That was basically how these negotiations went right to the end. It became clear at some point that there wasn't going to be a deal, especially when the league said we're only going to play 60 games, no more. It became a lot less. There's a lot less of an incentive for the players to take a deal. Things would have been different if there was still a chance of playing, you know, 75, 80 games. But once it became clear that 60 was as high as the owners were going to go at full prorated salaries, the players said, well, we have this bargaining chip called the expanded playoffs. We know you want it. We're not giving it to you for these just 60 games. We're going to hold on to that and use it as a piece of leverage when we're doing this again next year or when the CBA expires after 2021.
Mm-hmm. Who has a better chance of winning a grievance, the players or the owners?
You know, if you'd asked me this a week ago, I would have said the players probably had a really good chance. They probably have less of a chance now. I think much of what we've seen in the last 7 to 10 days by the league was sort of designed to protect itself more against the grievance. The fact that they went with 60 games as opposed to the 48 or 50 that Rob Manfred had initially sort of threatened probably helps them. Like, you never know what's going to happen if they, when they get in front of an arbiter. And I do think the players will probably end up filing a grievance, but you know, I don't think they're going into it anymore necessarily expecting to get hundreds of millions of dollars awarded to them.
You know, I find it somewhat ironic and maybe a little bit amusing that nobody said yes, I think, for three and a half months. Nobody agreed on anything for 3.5 months. And here, after a no vote by the players' union, we had the owners and Manfred imposing this schedule, imposing upon the players this schedule and this season. I mean, nobody was doing any elbow bumping. Nobody was, doing any kind of a shaking of the hands, figuratively speaking. The bottom line is that a no vote got the owners and Manfred to impose a season. I mean, still, there you get the feeling that the negativity, the animosity, the anger and the mistrust between the two sides absolutely continues, even though we are going to have a season.
Yeah, it was really notable that the statement that came out tonight announcing that the season was going to move forward was not a joint statement by the league and the union. It was a statement just by Rob Manfred saying we're excited to resume the 2020 season. That obviously says a lot. There was no kumbaya moment of we together can't wait for the season to start. Look, we've known the relationship between these two sides is bad. It's been bad now for quite a few years with all the free agency stuff and the tanking issues. So I don't think this necessarily made the relationship worse. I think what it did was truly put a spotlight on just how bad it's gotten for fans and maybe who haven't been paying attention to this labor nonsense, just how bad it is right now. And look, enjoy baseball while we have it, because when this CBA expires after 2021, it is going to be ugly.
A lockout, do you think?
Look, there's still a year and a half to go, so who knows? I would never say anything is guaranteed. But if we sit here today, it's hard to see them coming to an agreement without a work stoppage. But, like, that's a nuclear option, and I do think there's going to be a great incentive not to have that happen. But, man, oh, man, these two parties do not like each other right now.
Well, that is no surprise to anyone with the non-negotiation. What we have here is a failure to negotiate, but you know, in spite of themselves, we're going to have some baseball. The DH in the National League, I've never been for it as a National League fan. However, we're going to have it this year, and do you think we're going to have it next year and beyond? I know it's not guaranteed for 2021, but do you think we are going to have it in the National League next year and beyond?
Yeah, I get the sense that we're not getting the pitchers hitting again probably ever. For better or worse. Technically, the DH in the National League is only for this year, like you said. There was part of these negotiations was extending it into next year, and I wouldn't be surprised that when we're sitting here next year and suddenly they need to have another negotiation about how to play a season, potentially still during pandemic conditions, they just put it back in and then they negotiate into the CBA. So I have a feeling the National League style of play may be a relic of history. And I know a lot of people are going to be upset about that. Frankly, I kind of am going to miss it, too.
Oh, yeah, with the strategy, sure. We'll never see a Bartolo Colon home run again, I don't think, even if we didn't have the DH, and even if he was in the National League and still going at it. Let me ask you about this. Where is Charlie? This is a rhetorical question. Where is Charlie O'Finley when we need them. What is this with beginning in the 10th? And we're talking with Jared Diamond, who does with the baseball with the Wall Street Journal. Beginning in the 10th inning, Jared, we have a runner over there at second base in scoring position. How'd he get there, Jared?
Yeah, that's a weird one. This is a rule that's been in place in the minor leagues. I think last year started in the minor leagues, now coming to the majors this year. There's all these weird, convoluted scoring rules that if you're trying to score along at home in extra innings, just don't bother, because it's going to be very confusing to try to understand how this mystery runner wound up at second base. Like, I understand that baseball wants to avoid these super long extra inning games during this time, these 18-inning, 17-inning marathons. I'm not really crazy about this. Honestly, if I were president of baseball and I could do whatever I want, my solution would probably also upset a lot of people, which would just be play, you know, three extra innings, and if it's still tied, just say the game's a tie. That probably would upset people too, but I would prefer that, I think, to this like bizarro phantom runner on second base rule.
What do you think are the chances of any team going at it? And from what we understand, there's going to be teams are going to play 10 games against teams in their own division. There's going to be 20 games versus teams in interleague play. And with the geography in mind, you're going to, as you know, you're going to get the National League East, the American League East, the Yankees, and the Mets will play six times, as will all the rivals, the Angels and the Dodgers, the A's and the Giants, the White Sox, Cubs, you know the whole thing. What are the chances, Jared? Again, we're talking with Jared Diamond for a few more minutes. He's with the Wall Street Journal. And very happy, Jared, that at this hour, any hour, you've taken some time to be with us. What do you think the chances are of, in any game that's about to be played, that we are not going to see for a full nine innings any spitting?
Almost 0%. Frankly, I don't really have any clue necessarily how they expect this to be enforced. And the reality is, I don't necessarily think it is going to be enforced. I've read through this this document, this final operations manual that dictates and outlines all of the rules and whatnot. And it talks about how spitting is banned and not allowed. But what it doesn't say is any sort of punishment for what happens if players do spit. So I think ultimately this is more about sort of getting the thought in players' heads, like, hey, you really shouldn't be doing this. You probably shouldn't be spitting during this time. I don't expect anyone really to be punished for it unless, you know, it gets really egregious. Someone is really flouting the rules on purpose. I think it's more about just, hey, let's just be a little more careful, a little more cautious than normal, just given what's going on. And understanding that an outbreak of coronavirus cases in a team could it could end the season. We don't know what's going to happen if a whole team gets sick. So let's do everything we can to ensure that doesn't happen.
Yeah, God forbid. And I guess the only people wearing a mask will be the umpire and the home plate umpire and the catcher.
Not quite, actually. They're talking this document again says that the individuals who are not playing in the dugout should be wearing masks too, like managers and coaches. So we're going to be seeing plenty of masks in the dugout, but just not on the field. At least that is the rule outlined here.
It's hard to imagine, Jared, that even with a full 60 games, if it's going to be played, the virus notwithstanding, you got to think in all the sports, not just with the baseball, the hockey, the basketball, and we'll get to football in September. But at the moment, it's hard to think that there won't be at least one player that is, you know, that's going to be. At least one player that's going to be infected. I hope I'm absolutely wrong. Of course, it's hard to think otherwise if they are going to be out there. And even with the 6 degrees of separation and all of the safety protocols that have been put in place, my goodness, a 67-page document, longer than War and Peace, longer than the Ulysses, and taking you until the 12th and never to read the whole thing. They crossed every T and dotted every I. But it just seems that even with all the safety measures in place, hard to think that somebody isn't going to be infected.
Yeah, I agree with you. That document that was 67 pages a month ago is now 101 pages, the final document that was signed tonight.
What were they adding? What was added to the 67 pages?
The new playing rules, like the DH, other things that the union asked for. It is very thorough. Like I have criticized Major League Baseball for many things, but I cannot criticize them for their thoroughness of the document. It is incredibly thorough. They really did think of every possible contingency. However, they are not doing a bubble the way the NBA is, the way the NHL is. These guys are going to be traveling from city to city, going on planes, staying in a hotel. And I agree with you. It seems almost impossible to imagine that somehow the virus doesn't slip in. All they can do is, A, hope they're testing enough to catch it before it gets really bad. They're going to be testing, it sounds like, at least every other day. And I was told by someone tonight that that could actually change to every day, potentially, depending on how things go. I think also what's going to be important is peer pressure. Players are going to have to police themselves and say, hey, if you make bad choices, you are screwing our chances of trying to win a championship. Your actions affect all of us. They affect every player. If you go out to a bar when you're not supposed to in Florida, where everyone's going out to bars, and you bring coronavirus back into the clubhouse, you are affecting all of us. And I think that sort of public shame among their teammates is going to be very, very powerful. Nonetheless, look, I do think it's going to be tough to keep it all out. They are trying to thread an incredibly thin needle. This is going to be an enormous undertaking. And I just hope that the people in charge, the people overseeing this, if they do have to make a tough call and shut this thing down, they do it before something really bad happens and not after it's too late.
We took a call right before you came on, Jared, from a Mike from Long Island, and he was asking me, and I told him I would ask you, where are they going to play? Because the virus is spiking, as you know, in Florida, in Arizona, in Texas, in California, and there are a lot of teams in those four states. Where are they going to play?
Right now, the plan is to play in as many home stadiums as possible. It could be all 30 teams even playing in their home ballparks, at least to start the year. Toronto is a bit of an outlier, trying to work it out with the Canadian government, whether that's going to be doable. But this document, this 101-page behemoth that I spent way too long tonight reading, says that MLB has the right during the season to relocate clubs to neutral sites, spring training sites, or other clubs' home ballparks as needed, essentially. It's up to the league. If it gets really bad in a place, they could tell the Tampa Bay Rays or the Marlins, where things are really bad in Miami-Dade County, say, you have to go play your home games in, I don't know, Yankee Stadium for a while.
And in the beginning with the virus, you would have never thought of New York as the place to play, City Field or Yankee Stadium. What with the virus situation here now, it's arguably as good a state as can be with the, you know, numbers way, way down with the concerning the virus. How would you work your starting pitching? Would you have a starter go three innings and then bring in somebody else for another three? And certainly with a short season, you don't have to worry about overworking your bullpen.
Yeah, that certainly helps. You're going to have to be careful with the starting pitchers. They're not going to be what we would normally describe as ready on opening day. There's just not enough time. We're talking about getting to spring training or summer training now. There's two spring trainings this year, and neither of them took place in spring, which is pretty funny. They're not going to be ready, though, the pitchers. So we've seen when baseball came back in Korea a few weeks ago, there were a lot of injuries early in the season, way more than normal. We're already starting to potentially see that in Japan as well, because the players are just not getting the sort of buildup they're used to. So they're going to have to be careful. I think you're going to see starters really not go deep into games early on, or maybe all year. Which, you know, it's hard to imagine going any less than they already do these days. But I think everyone has to be really careful. I think what we have to just understand is that this is not going to be baseball in any way that we know it. This is going to be something completely new, completely different. And instead of, you know, complaining about it or saying, I don't like this version of baseball, we should all just be very happy that they may actually play, because frankly, even getting one major league game in at this point feels like some sort of miracle to be able to pull it off.
What do you hear before I let you go? What do you hear about A-Rod and Mike Rapoli and Vinny Viola, I believe, who owns the Florida Panthers hockey team? I think those three are putting their money together to try and buy the New York Metropolitans. You hear anything about that, Jared?
Look, it seems like every couple of weeks or every month, it goes from Alex Rodriguez is out of the running to Alex Rodriguez is putting together another group to try to buy the team, which tells me that to whatever extent possible, he's serious about trying to do this. Look, this is a, you would, could argue, is a buyer's market. I think there's probably some people who currently own the Mets that may wish they had sold the team to Steve Cohen for $2.6 billion when they had the chance. So if Alex Rodriguez thinks he could put together a bid that sort of sneak in, go for it. Who wouldn't want to see Alex Rodriguez and Jennifer Lopez owning the Mets? That would be a circus that we've never, ever imagined or seen before.
Her, I would take. Him, you can have. Anyway.
I for one, am fine with J-Lo owning a baseball team. I would like to see that happen.
Yeah, me too. And it's hard to imagine that, you know, if you had, I refer to him with tongue-in-cheek as A-Roid. And the bottom line is I can't imagine the team, you know, he not putting himself ahead of the team. I mean, he's just too narcissistic and just too much of an attention grabber, looking for FaceTime wherever there's a microphone or a camera. And so how could he ever put something else ahead of him as the number one attraction at in Queens?
I think Alex just wants to win a championship as an owner before Jeter. That's probably the single thing driving him at this point.
Right. Jared, I can't thank you enough at this hour, seriously so, for giving us a couple of minutes, and terrific talking to you, and you gave us some very nice insight. I appreciate your time very, very much. Stay safe and healthy and sound, and the best to you.
You too. Let's just hope that we actually get baseball a month from now.
You got it. Thanks so much, Jared. Jared, of course, Jared Diamond with the Wall Street Journal.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.